Hi, and welcome to Coffee and Pearls, 15 Minutes of Wisdom for Catholic Moms. I'm Sterling Jaquith, and to wrap up our four-part series of having a less stressful summer, today I'm going to be talking about fear. So that was the other major category that when I asked women, you know, what stressed them out about summer, there were a bunch of responses that really just touched a deep down fear. And when we're dealing with something that we are scared of, we have to first recognize kind of the level of fear that we have, because there are some of those things that are imprinted on us, like my fear of spiders, right? I'm just ridiculously scared of spiders. And even though intellectually I'll see it and be like, this is just a spider, it's not a big deal, I just can't even get within like 2 feet of one most of the time. I mean, sometimes if they're small and I have a shoe, I can scream and do it. But I don't have nearly the same response to almost anything else, right? Mice, snakes, bees, just all those creepy crawly things don't freak me out in the same way as spiders. That is clearly imprinted somehow in my mind as a deep down fear. So that is kind of one level of fear. I'll address that in a little bit. And then there's other things that are perhaps less subconscious. They may still feel really powerful to us, but they're not exactly that kind of fight or flight thing that's happening. For example, one thing I'm going to talk about is fear of your children drowning. It's a totally reasonable fear, but that's an intellectual one more so because you know that drowning is a problem and it's hard to watch kids and, you know, it's less visceral, I guess. It's more intellectual. And so as we talk about fear, you have to have a really honest conversation with yourself about your level of fear and, if possible, where it comes from. You know, speaking those things out loud can be really helpful. I don't know where my fear of spiders comes from. My fear of kids drowning comes from the internet and then common sense, right? I actually don't know any child who has drowned. So in that way, it's perhaps disproportionate to how often it actually happens. But it's just something I'm worried about. And so it's not irrational. Obviously, you know, little kids drown sometimes and you have to watch them closely around the water. But I have to kind of do some self-work to decide, is it disproportionate to the likelihood of it happening, or am I overreacting and being overly protective about the thing that I'm scared of? Okay, so with all of these fears that I'm going to talk about, there's really only two things to do about it. First is to do some deep work, right? To just sit and explore this fear yourself. So I'll take drowning as an example. You know, maybe you want to sit and look up some statistics about drowning. My husband always says, you know, the most dangerous thing that we ever do is put our children in the car. Statistically, that's the most dangerous thing that can happen to children, and we do it every single day. And yet we freak out about, you know, drowning and choking and, you know, oh my gosh, you're going to fall off the monkey bars and break something. Like, we have these, you know, gut level fears, and I'm not discounting those, but I'm saying it's funny that we don't tend to have that about putting our kid in a car seat and putting them in a car and moving way faster than the human body was ever meant to go, you know, for the number one thing that actually kills children. We don't tend to have as much fear around that. And so I hope I'm not freaking any of you out. I'm sorry. But my bigger hope is that we can calm ourselves down a little bit about the other things and really just put them in perspective. Because the other thing that is important to understand about fear is that we tend to think that we can control what happens to our children and to ourselves. If I just buy the nicest car seat, if I just get the perfect floaty device, if I buy super perfect hippie sunscreen that has no chemicals in it, you know, whatever it is that you're doing to mitigate or to protect your kids from these things that you're scared of, you are tricking yourself into thinking that you actually have control over that or control over what's going to happen to them, right? I have a friend, I don't know if I've told this story before, but I have a friend and she watched a 5-year-old little girl holding a rosary in mass, put it in her mouth, ended up choking on one of the beads and died. And I remember when she told me that story, I thought, you know, I could hold on to that forever and suddenly develop a really deep fear about kids and rosaries. Because obviously, you know, even by 5, I'm not pretty worried about that. You know, I'm usually worried about that in younger than 3. And those kids who like suck on things, right? And I just thought, you know what? I can't be scared of everything. I can't be scared of everything. There's nothing those parents could have done. They were most certainly not negligent parents, right? Here they were, and I don't know them at all, but here they were, you know, at mass with their child. And you know what? In that instance, like God just called that child home. And of course it's heartbreaking and tragic, but are we all going to go home and remove every rosary from within the grasp of our 5-year-old kids? Or why not 6 or 7? I mean, 5's pretty old. And it was just an accident, and accidents happen. And God decides what happens to each and every one of us. And again, we tend to think that we have control, but He has control. The more you think that you're in control over the fate of your children, the more crushing guilt you're going to experience over managing their environment. And of course, all these studies have come out saying, you know, helicopter parenting is bad. And lawnmower parenting is bad. I heard that one the other day. Lawnmower parenting is when you clear a perfectly easy, smooth path for your kid so they never encounter any problems. So you're not hovering over them, but you're kind of going ahead of them and making sure that their environment and the people that they meet and everything is so smooth that they don't encounter any adversity. Okay? We do not have control over what happens to our children. That doesn't mean that we should just, you know, sit back and drink a margarita and leave parenting up to the world. We have to instill virtues in them, but we cannot control what happens to them for the most part. And that sucks. I'm even saying that. I'm like, no, but I really want to. I want to pick, you know, the right families to hang out with and the right activities and school or homeschooling or whatever it is that we think we're choosing to give them a better chance. And it's good to be discerning parents. But when it stops being good is when it steals your peace and you live in a place of fear. Okay? That's the thing that's not okay. And so with all of these things, you're going to do some deep work, which allows you to assess the fear. And then the second step is you're going to create a plan to deal with it. And then you're going to give it to God. Okay? So with respect to drowning, you know, decide if it's worth it to teach your kids how to swim. Get some floaty devices. Don't go to water places until you can control that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I don't take my kids right now. Even the oldest 2 can swim, and the middle one is almost 4, and I'd be fine if she had a floaty. I just can't watch 5 kids right now by myself, right? And so I just don't feel comfortable doing that unless my husband's there, or like if I only had the older 3 girls. And so that's my plan, right? My plan is just to not put us in that situation until I'm ready. And I don't care how much pain I was in, even pregnant, I would get up and jump in the water and save my kid. But the challenging thing about drowning, right, is that they tend to happen in really big social situations where everyone thinks everyone else has got the kids, right? So you're at a backyard barbecue and all the kids are in the pool and everyone thinks it's fine because there's so many people around. But that ends up actually being the most dangerous situation because nobody's actually watching the kids, right? And so I would just do some research, think about all of that, create a plan, and then just live with my plan. I'd set the fear down and say, you know, guardian angels, take care of my kids. Lord, thy will be done. Help me to protect them and be the best parent that I can be. And that's it. you just can't live in a place of fear all the time. So another big category of things that we're super scared of, ticks and Lyme disease. I'm going to toss mosquitoes in there, or maybe bug bites in general, although I feel like ticks and Lyme disease are just kind of next level scarier. We don't live in a place with ticks and Lyme disease, but I know it's scary. My sister-in-law lives in northern Wisconsin, and it's a huge deal all the time. What they wear, taking baths every day, checking the kids, and the stakes feel so high because sometimes you get Lyme and it's no big deal, and sometimes you get Lyme and it's there forever. But you can get cancer. You can get into a car accident. I mean, there's so many ways that tragedy can befall our families, and we cannot walk around in a permanent state of fear. The best thing we can do is research something, create a plan, and give it to God. Okay? Figure out how people deal with ticks. Get a spray. I don't know, some people say chickens help. I haven't problem solved that. But, you know, read about it, do the best that you can, and then give it to God. If your child ends up getting bit by a tick that you didn't see and ends up with Lyme disease, it does not mean you're a bad parent. We cannot control everything. If I met you, I wouldn't be like, I bet she was just watching TV and not taking care of her kids. Right? Like, that's more than we can control. And if it's seriously crushing you and you're having high levels of fear and anxiety all the time, that's when I would consider moving. Right? I just think, you know what? Maybe my personality type cannot handle being here and I need to move. Now, people who tend to be that anxious tend to be anxious about a lot of things. So moving to a place with no ticks might just reveal something else. But, you know, we got to give it to God. For me, it's spiders, right? So every time I see like a wooden playhouse, I'm like, I know there's spiders in that wooden playhouse. They're going to get my kids. And I know it's just an irrational fear. And so I just take a deep breath. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I trust in you. Guardian angels, watch my kids. And the other thing I pep talk myself about specifically with spiders, I'm like, most of the time they're fine, right? How many kids do you know that have gotten a serious spider bite and it was a real problem? I don't know any. And so we've got to face our fears head on, do our due diligence and be good parents and do whatever research we can, create a plan, and then give it to God. Another one that someone listed was sunscreen, red food dye, gluten, and then I just put all the things, right? So, you know, I think as parents in the 21st century, we are now inundated with the fact that people are telling us that all the food that we eat is bad, almost everything in our environment is bad, all the entertainment that the kids are exposed to is bad. It's just crazy the amount of things that we're told are toxic to our children. And I don't know about you, but it just, that as a whole creates fear in me, or it can. And I think, oh, is that true? Should I be following up on that? And that's really for everything, right? So sunscreen's a great example, because at first they were like, the sun gives your kids cancer, so you need to put sunscreen on them. And then they were like, actually, sunscreen gives your kids cancer. There's terrible things in that. You shouldn't do that. And some people are like, if you just ate paleo, then you wouldn't need any sunscreen. But the redhead in me is like, well, that's not true. And then, you know, are we all going to be making our own sunscreen bars? I'll put a link to an awesome recipe for sunscreen bars for those of you who want to try that. But listen, we can only do so much. We can only do so much. And at this point, I'm pretty convinced that at least 70% of our environment could give us cancer. Like, I gotta give that to Jesus. Otherwise, we're just gonna have to go live in a biodome and not be around other people because everything sounds horribly dangerous at this point. But to me, the most dangerous thing is that as a mom, I will lose my peace and my sanity, and then my children will look at that and say, Oh, Mom was Catholic and she was real crazy, so I don't want to be Catholic. Because I have no control over what they choose to associate my lack of peace with. But if we tell them that God gives us peace, and then we don't have peace, what other conclusion do we expect them to draw? So when it comes to sunscreen and red dye, red food coloring and plastic toys and gluten and soy and all of that stuff, just pick your limit. Pick your limit for what you can handle right now. Do what you can and give the rest to God. There have been phases in my life where I made our own sunscreen bars and laundry detergent, and we ate only super clean foods with no sugar or food dye or gluten. And then there are phases where I'm like, here's a hot dog and a string cheese, and I'm going to go lay down. And I don't care what's in those things. And that's because I'm fighting for my kids' salvation. And right now, a significant amount of the foundation that they're building for their faith is just watching me model it. And Jesus didn't send us to earth to freak out about all these things. He wants us to be good stewards of our body. He wants us to be educated, but he doesn't want us to lose our peace. None of these things are worth losing your peace over. Especially because in total, I feel like the internet has pretty much told me that everything but air is bad. And even then, it sounds like the air is bad too, you know? And we just can't live in fear all the time. We have to trust in God and in his plan for us. And of course, we have free will. But I think that, like I said, it's our job to be discerning and educated, and then to take that information in and create a plan, give it to God, and live with peace. So just like in a previous episode, we were talking about identifying the things that are annoying to you. I want you to identify the things that are stealing your peace. Peace things tend to be related to fear. We're fearful of something. Oh, the last one that I wanted to go over, because this was hilarious. One woman, I said, you know, what's stressful about summer? And one woman just wrote, wearing shorts. And I was like, Mama, you're right on. Wearing shorts is stressful in the summer, right? For a multitude of reasons. But, you know, I think one level of not wanting to wear shorts is about our body image, right? One level for sure is modesty. Oh my goodness, it's so hard to find long shorts for my girls. So one of those is a hardship issue, right? Finding shorts. The other one is fear. Fear that I'm not good enough, that I'm not pretty enough, maybe that people won't like me. Maybe that my husband isn't attracted to me. There's usually like a deep down fear when we have like a body issue going on. And so that requires some deep work. Is it something I can change? Is it not something I can change? What's my plan? And then give it to God. There's a certain amount of acceptance and mercy that needs to happen there. So that could fall under hardship or discomfort, although I think that body issues tend to be more rooted in fear, where we do have control over them, but, you know, we've got some kind of mixed up wiring in our brain about what we should look like or what we should be doing, or that we're just never getting it right. Maybe we know what we should be doing, but we're not doing it. Okay, so I just want to wrap up the less stressful summer series with this episode on fear. We talked about setting boundaries. We talked about identifying things that annoy us. We talked about hardship and discomfort and fear. You do not have to have a stressful summer. Okay? Own your choices. Have some agency. And try very hard this year to identify the things that are causing you stress, and let's work on them. We may not solve them. Some of these are big problems. Some of these things we've been doing for 20 years. okay? But awareness brings us peace. Having a plan brings us peace. And then sharing these things with other people brings us peace. So I really want to encourage you to invite your friends to listen to this series. Even if they don't listen to podcasts, just be like, oh, there's just 4 episodes and I think it's really going to help you. I mean, I hope you think that. And then talk about it. Say, okay, yeah, this is what I'm struggling with. How do you deal with that? Right? I do love that kind of talking to moms. I find it's better in person than online because lately the internet is just devolving into a madhouse and it's driving me nuts. So for those of you who are stressed out about Facebook and Instagram and the internet, my digital minimalism course is almost done. Well, it's done. It's just not out yet, but it should be this week, I think. And that will help you with that. And that's just about planning and discipline and accountability and consistency. Those are easy words to say, but it's hard to do. But we've got to fight for peace because I want people to look at us and to say, what does she have that I don't? And I want the answer to be the peace of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what we're fighting for. All right, ladies. Thank you for listening to Coffee and Pearls, and have a blessed summer. I will be praying for you and for all moms out there who are wrangling their monkeys, because y'all, summer is hard. I will acknowledge that, but hopefully this year we can wrangle them a little bit better and enjoy a little bit more peace. All right, ladies, goodbye.